Beautiful, beautiful hymn. Please take your Bibles and turn with me to the second chapter of Acts. The second chapter of Acts, and we're going to begin reading with the 37th verse. Second chapter of Acts, verse 37, and today we're just going to be reading two verses, 37 and 38. So please listen carefully. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word. I just praise you that we have the opportunity to be together and to come together and to hear your word together as a family. Please, that you will just take every word that's spoken today and bring it to the ears of all of us just exactly the way that you would want it presented. Touch every one of our hearts. Bring us to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. If we are not born again, if we are born again, then please, dear Lord, just grow us. Just help us to grow each and every day closer to you and be more like you. And so please, just speak to all of our hearts today now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As we have said many times, Peter took on the day of Pentecost scripture verses led by the Spirit of God that he would speak of from the book of Joel and talked about the Spirit as it would be poured out. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. And so we find that with Joel, and then he went left from Joel after the pouring out of the Spirit, showing how that he had the power and how that the souls would be touched. And then he moves on to Psalms and David, and he speaks concerning David. And we would read here from the 25th verse in Acts chapter 2, and David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad, moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. That was the scripture verse from Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11, that Peter chose to use, again, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, to speak to these folks that were listening. And most of the folks that were listening were Israelites, were Jews. And so he knew that they would be very familiar with the scripture text from Joel, as with their king David, that they would listen carefully as he then took those words, properly divided those words, and spoke to the hearts of these people. Because he said, this is not talking about David. This is talking about the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he brought all that into place so that they would know without question that the one that they have just crucified is the Son of God, is the Messiah, their Savior. And he is not only witnessed by the 120, but also by 500, and now why he has ascended back home to be with his Father in his proper place, seated at the right hand of the throne of God. All this was told them. And the point of saying this, the point of any time speaking the Word of God, is that those that will have ears to hear will hear. And that as the Word is spoken, that these words will open that lost heart up, and their mind and their heart, and they will come by faith of the Lord Jesus. this is what happened to many of the folks that stood before him that day. Because that's what brought that question on, what shall we do? It came about because of the Word of God. It wasn't because Peter was such a great speaker. It was because the Word of God was rightly divided, and it allows the Spirit of God then to work upon the hearts. And we know, according to this, that their hearts were pricked. And we heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Think about it. Most, if not all, the people that were present that Peter was talking to at Pentecost was at the crucifixion. They had some part of that. Maybe they didn't walk out to watch Jesus be crucified, but maybe they heard of the trial that was going on. And I know they heard that the Son of God was crucified, this man Jesus, and that's all he was to them, was just a man. But as Peter presented this so carefully and so clearly, how that he would die on the cross, and then he would be raised again the third day, and now he is ascended back home to the Father. And we know that. Why? Because of what Joel had said, the Spirit of God will come down when I get home. My Father and I will send him. We'll send the Comforter down. And so all these things were proclaimed so that the hearts would be changed. And the question comes now, and to be standing right there, realizing, we just crucified our Messiah. Now, what hope would you have just with that thought alone? We have just put to death, we have just crucified the only one that can save us. That's where that question came from. Now, what are we going to do? What's left? And you think about that. What is left when you recognize that you have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, that's the joy of the Word of God, because it doesn't just leave you there. It shows you that Jesus is alive. And Jesus died for all of your sin. And if you'll come by faith to Him, you'll possess salvation. You can be saved. And so that's the Word that came. Men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said to them, repent. What shall we do? I'm lost. I'm helpless. What shall we do? And you and I know, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the reason that that question was asked is because the Spirit of God was convicting their hearts. I'm sure there was a large group there that didn't bother them a bit. They could listen. We've had them here. We've had folks that have come, listen to the Word of God, leave complaining, leave not believing in any part of it or any way. And I know that there were those same folks present this day. But we thank, and we know the number, because it says 3,000 souls were added that day. So at least 3,000 of them, the Spirit of God got through that old, cold, hard heart and was able to come in and showed them who they were and what they've done. And you see, it's the same thing with us. We need to recognize that we are the ones. I am the one. My sin put Jesus Christ on the cross. So I crucified the Lord Jesus. I'm responsible for Him dying on the cross, as all the world is because of their sin. Peter brought that home to these folks. They recognized that. But oh, again, praise the Lord that He didn't leave them there. He didn't say, now you just go live with that. You live with that guilt. Because you see, the same Spirit of God that brought them to the place of saying, what shall we do? What can we do? That same Spirit brought them right to the door of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, here's your Savior. Here's what you need. And the words that Peter spoke here was repent. Now we're going to stop right there on that single word, repent, in the 38th verse. Then Peter said to them, repent. That was his first statement back to them. Repent. to repent is to be sorrowful, to be sorrowing and be sorrowful and turning, turn away from what you are. That's to repent, is to turn. Forsaking sin and turning to God, turn from the world, we need to do that. That's the action that's taken place when you are saved. You're convicted by the Spirit of God of your sin and who you are, what you are. And then you turn. You turn to God. And now your walk begins to be a walk with God, not a walk away from God. It's a walk with God and with our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance is not the fear of the consequences. Okay, if I don't repent, then I'm going to die and go to hell. Now, fear can bring you to a place of repentance. When the gospel is preached and you tell people about hell and what hell's going to be like, we pray through the Word of God that the Spirit of God can convict that heart. But just that fear is not enough. That's not salvation. That fear is not repentance. And we need to understand that. The repentance is not the fear of the wrath of God. That's not repentance. Devil fears and trembles. He knows the Word of God. He's not saved. That doesn't mean you've repented. Again, it may bring you to a place of repentance, but true repentance in the heart looks upon sin in its true light. When the Spirit of God convicts your heart, you see that old sinful nature that you are. That's the first step. And then recognizing that that sin is what put the Savior on the cross, nailed the Savior to the cross. That sin, your sin, and all the sin of all the world is the reason Jesus had to die on the cross. And then repentance, true repentance, is a desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Turning around. That's something that you can't do on your own. You can't just decide someday that okay, I'm going to stop following this world and I'm going to start following God. Well, if you make that kind of a decision, that just makes you religious. And you can change your life. We've witnessed this. We've watched folks that weren't saved, but they begin to talk differently. They begin to act differently. But what happened? It wasn't too long they returned. Because, you see, they didn't truly repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to forsake our sin. We need to turn about. We need to begin to walk in the same direction. Walk as our God wants us to walk, not walk as the world. To turn about face, to walk with God. You see, without the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we are running in the opposite direction. You wonder why that you have conflict with some of your folks that you've known for years. They are not born again. You talk to things about the Lord Jesus and they don't seem to have any care for it at all. Or it's a constant battle every time you bring something up concerning being born again. You see, those folks, they're running completely a different direction than you're going. They don't see the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing they see is the fruit that they have from their efforts here upon this life and in this world. And we know that all are filthy rags, any works that you might try to do. And so we need to understand. And again, you may be convicted, but that's not repentance. Repentance with faith towards God. Fearing sin or the consequences of it is not repentance. Repentance is recognizing your sin, who you are, turning to God. And again, the power of God gives us that opportunity. We can't do that on our own. You can't do that. You can't just decide today I'm going to choose God and walk that way. I kind of like the way they walk. Why? I see that that they're all driving new cars. I think I'm going to start acting like they're acting. You hear all the years, so many years that I'm going to send you this cloth, and you touch this cloth and send it back, and oh, God's going to answer that prayer. The cults, they're all cults. Everyone that desires to have your money, they care not for your soul. And we need to see that we need to walk each day with the Lord Jesus. And if we have a desire to do that, and an example that was given, and I thought it was a good one, a drunkard gets arrested. He gets put in jail. The next morning he wakes up. He wakes up with a headache, and he's behind bars. He may be convicted of what he's done. But as soon as, it's not long, that conviction will go away, and he returns to the pig pen, to the bottle, to the bar. He returns. It's gone. You see, conviction does that. You can be convicted, but if you don't take that, the conviction that comes, and if it's directed by the Holy Spirit, that then you have a decision to make, and that decision is to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to turn to the Lord Jesus. True repentance is to turn to God and turn from sin. We still sin, but the desire of our heart is to follow our God and not the devil. You hear the word of God, we're pricked in your heart. The word here is repent. Repent. Turn to him. Don't say, as the word tells us, I'll hear you another day. Don't do that. Don't be like King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26. You've almost persuaded me. Almost persuaded me. He's listening. That spirit was working on his heart. But that old devil was sitting on the other shoulder saying, you don't want that. You don't want that. And King Agrippa listened to the wrong one. You can listen to the wrong one today. We need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It's a quote that Paul has given us from Isaiah chapter 49. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now. That word succored there is to help, to aid. And parts of the word succored in the Greek takes you to another word that means I'm going to throw you a rope. And that's what he does. We're lost. We're drowning in that well. There's no way out. No hope. But our God sends us a rope. Now, are we going to use what he gives us? The Holy Spirit sends us a way of salvation. We need to listen to him. We need to respond to that and come. And today is the day of salvation, not another day. So please, listen to the call of God if you've not come. And this is a quote that Paul used, and from the prophet Isaiah some 750 years before. John the Baptist preached, repent ye, Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. Jesus preached, except you repent, Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Peter, here on the day of Pentecost, preached, repent. And back in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, it says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus repeated that twice. He said it once in verse 3 and again in verse 5, same words. He wanted to have their attention. The next section of this, repentance comes first, and then baptism. Baptized. The disciples here in Matthew 28, verse 19, they were commissioned to go out. Now let's turn to there. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, next to the last verse in the book of Matthew. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. They were commissioned to go out and to preach the word, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And then when they're born again, then they were to baptize them. Now, something that's been so confusing to so many for so long, and that is that they want to connect baptism with salvation. And we need to understand that never in the Word of God is baptism put ahead of salvation. Never is baptism put ahead of repentance. Never. Why, through all these years, have all these places baptized babies? It's not baptism. Some say, well, I know it's not really baptism. Blessing them. We're dedicating them. That's what we're doing. It's just a dedication. I said, then get rid of the sprinkling if that's the case. Aren't you calling it baptism? And yes, we are. And number one, the child, as they baptize them, many places believe that that is the only way that the Spirit of God comes in. That's how the Spirit of God comes. And we know there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. The day you get saved, we are immersed in the Holy Spirit, as the end of this verse tells us. We receive the Holy Spirit the day that we repent and follow the Lord Jesus. But they've connected this word baptism with a requirement. And so even those that stay with immersion, many have locked in that need. You must be baptized to be saved. And then God's grace isn't sufficient. God's grace isn't enough. If we need to be baptized to be saved, you're not trusting in the Lord Jesus as your salvation. You're trusting in another. And again, we have come along with this, the baptism, the traditions of sprinkling that's come along. And of course, that's way before any decision for the Lord Jesus Christ can be made. And so, but that tradition, you can probably trace it back to Catholicism, and that's where it started. And then all the Protestant churches have followed suit, many of them, and followed something that is a tradition. It is not the Word of God. Baptism is an outward confession that we are dead with Christ, buried with Christ, raised with Christ, and walk in the newness of life with Jesus. That's what baptism is. When we stand there, it's a picture of our old self. We go down into the water, it pictures us dying with Christ. Coming up out of the water pictures us being raised with Christ. Nothing to do with your salvation, everything to do with obedience. That's the first command God gives us after we're born again, is to be baptized, is to follow that. But it is not connected with salvation. With these Jews, it was actually a showing of breaking away. Breaking away. They believed in the washing. That was common to them. But this baptism after repentance, when they would confess Jesus Christ, and then they would go out and follow in baptism, it was showing that I am breaking away from the old traditions of Judaism. I am born again in Jesus Christ. We really have the same, because when we are repentant, we have turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. We begin to walk with Him, and we follow them. We do the first command, and that's to be baptized. And so we follow in baptism. And that, too, is a breakaway from religion. It is. I am serving the person, Jesus Christ. I am not a part of a religion. Yes, we have a family here, but this family is centered upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the living God that we serve and we know. It is not a religion. A religion is something that's dry and is built upon teachings and traditions. We believe and follow after the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we are born again, we believe in a living person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to come to Him by faith and serve Him. And so it too is a breaking away of the religion that many of us were raised in. Water baptism, scriptural baptism, going down into the water and back up out of the water, has nothing to do with redemption. It has everything to do with obedience. So please, never forget that. And we all know folks that go to many, many churches, they call them churches, that they have the baptistry is hot, the baptistry is ready, because just the minute that you trust in the Lord Jesus, they want to get you to that baptism just as fast as they can and baptize you. Many times it could be in the middle of the night that they do it. They'll do it during the day. They'll do it any time with really no one present, because they got to get you baptized. If you die before you're baptized, why, you're not saved. And that's what they teach. But I am here according to the Word of God tells us that that is a lie. That's a tradition that man has developed. It is all about obedience. Water baptism does not wash away sin. Water baptism does not help us to be saved. Water baptism doesn't cause us to be more fully saved. You know, some preach it that you got to be, you know, just keep praying that you get filled with the Spirit. Pray to be controlled by the Spirit, but you're filled the day you get saved. The Spirit of God comes to within your heart. And again, thousands upon thousands are depending upon baptism for their salvation. And they are all headed to hell unless they repent. They must repent. Baptism is obedience. If you have not been washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus, certainly the washing of the water in the baptistry will not make you fit for God's kingdom. This is God's work, not ours. And we need to remember that. This is God's work, not ours. Let's touch one more scripture verse here, and then we'll close for the day. And that's back in John chapter 3. You must be born again. Here came Nicodemus to Jesus. We've had this beautiful message many times. John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. He has some questions, and Nicodemus said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." And Jesus didn't ask him anything. He didn't ask him what he knew. He told him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that word verily, verily at the beginning is a strong words. Verily, verily, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now let's jump down to verse 5. Verily, verily, once again, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. many people have placed baptism there. That water, clearly, through the Word of God, stands for the Word of God. The Word of God has got to come into your heart. The Word of God has got to come first. The Spirit of God then can take the Word of God and make you a child of God. That's the only way that we can be born again. The Word of God, by the Spirit of God, He can make us a child of God. That's the only way and the only steps. So please, understand that this baptism, and a side note here a little bit, if baptism was so important, the Apostle Paul baptized two individuals in one family. And he said, that's all. That's all. And he has come to preach the gospel, not to baptize. That's what Paul said. Now, we need to follow the Lord in baptism, but Paul wanted to see that the Jews didn't start right back up, or the Gentiles, nations, that they didn't begin to follow right back with the rituals. Okay, let's baptize everybody, and then we'll go from there. And that's what's happened today in many places. The Word of God is not preached, and we need to preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Nicodemus, master teacher of religion, he knew it all. He knew it all. And yet he did not know he needed to be born again. And Jesus gave him that simple message. And we need to hear that simple message ourselves. You must be born again. We'll stop with that. And we will continue with the baptism, what it stands for. We will finish that verse of Scripture off, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then it continues, for the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord Jesus shall call. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized. Repented. Gladly received the word. Then they were baptized. What a joy. We're going to enjoy some baptisms here very soon. We're going to get the schedule set. Please that you ask the Lord Jesus, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, but you've never followed in baptism, please do that today. Please follow Him, and we will, the blessing. We had some folks here, and you folks know them, We'd have discussions. We'd have different things during study, and the person was terrified of the water. Waited and waited and waited and waited and waited, and wouldn't be baptized, and just it wanted to be, but just was so scared of that water. And many times the answers that would come were answers that were kind of off to the left and off to the right, and you wondered where that statement came from. And she finally surrendered and was baptized. And that first night, that was on Sunday morning, and that Sunday night, a question was asked, and the answer that came from her was perfect. It was just like God says, until you follow my first command to be baptized, I can't trust you with my wisdom. I can't trust you with my power. You've got to follow me. Trust in me. And she did, and from that time on, it was just like she had went away to college for 4 years and came back. It's just a joy. It was just a joy to see that. And so, if you need to follow the Lord in baptism, please do. It's not going to have you any more saved than you are today, but it is going to be a blessing to you, and it just... it's what God commands us to do first. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you today that we can come and just enjoy this wonderful time of fellowship together. I thank and praise you for your word. I ask that you touch every heart that's here today. Touch my heart, touch all the hearts, that we may come to know you as our Savior if we don't know you, and then begin that wonderful walk and the joy of knowing you and fellowshipping with you and experience the joy and the hope and the the power and the wisdom that is given to us. Please, please today. We know that the very first and very simple statement that's made is repent and then be baptized. So, Father, please touch the hearts of all that are here concerning taking care of that command. It's a joy to be in your house today. Speak to all of our hearts, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.